Well, good morning and welcome to you all. It's lovely to welcome you to worship today. We celebrate Jesus' birth. We continue to celebrate his birth. But as we tip into the new year, we have many other thoughts flooding through our minds. But it's great to come to worship God, knowing that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We can also be glad as we have some notices, because they make us very glad. And would you like, Nikki, to share?
Okay, so Friday the 12th of January, so just under 2 weeks' time now, there's an opportunity to come together right at the start of a new year. We're going to be listening to some music and poetry and reflecting on the idea of hope, and that hope that spurs us on and that hope that we can have in Jesus. So the evening promises to be a great evening together. The cooking, there's going to be a hot supper. I'm not involved in the cooking, so I can say it is going to be good because I've seen the menu. Really encourage you to get there for that. And also Jonathan Littledale is going to be sharing with us a bit about the work of Christie's and how they seek to bring hope to and support to people who are suffering with cancer. As part of the evening, there will also be an opportunity for those who are able and who would like to donate to the work of Christie's financially. Tickets are free, but because we are doing our supper, we do have a limit, and there are actually just 25 tickets left now. So I just really want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so and you want to come along, to book your ticket and to let Patricia in the church office know. The cut-off date is going to be next Sunday, so just to bear that one in mind. Finally, if you've kind of got through Christmas and the stress of Christmas lunch, but you are generally somebody who likes baking and you would like to make a cake to contribute to the evening, then again, please let Patricia know and she'll give you a bit more information about that. So I said two things last time, three things this time. So Friday the 12th of January, let Patricia know and make sure you do that this week. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Nikki. And I just want to remind folk that this coming Thursday evening, there's going to be a church information evening to reflect on all that God has done over the last year and to pray for the future. There's also going to be an opportunity to hear an update on the property development plans and to explore the appointing of a youth leader during 2018. So an important meeting on Thursday, which I commend to you. Anybody got any other notices, just in case you're bursting? No, I like people who put their hands in the air regularly. It's good. Okay, let's worship God together as we sing together a carol that reminds us of those who came to worship the infant Jesus. As with gladness, men of old, let's stand to sing.
Gladness, men of old, did the guiding star behold. As with joy they held its sight, leading onward, beaming bright. So most gracious God may bring, evermore your splendor see.
As with joyful steps they sped,
please sit down. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, we thank you that we can bring you our praises and we can worship you just as the Magi worshipped you thousands of years ago. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to be our friend. And we thank you that we can meet together today to bring you our worship, to declare our commitment to you, and to look ahead to this new year, seeking your blessing on all that we do in the coming 12 months. But now, Lord, we come to say thank you for all that you have given to us over this past year, that you have been with us in all that we have done. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'd like us to do now is to reflect on the last year. It's been my pleasure through the years often to take this service after Christmas, because no Baptist minister wants to, and they're normally on holiday, which is terribly sensible, and therefore often this has been my happy place to be. And it's a great, I think it's a great Sunday, because we're both looking back and looking forward, aren't we? We were saying at the door earlier, didn't quite know what the greeting was. You want to say Happy New Year, but it's not quite, and Happy Christmas feels a bit passé, and so you end up saying something like season's greetings, which makes you sound like a Christmas card. But so it's an in-between sort of Sunday. But I want us to spend some energy, both looking back and looking forward. So 2017, don't know if you can remember it, but January, you'll remember the excitement or something as Donald Trump was sworn in as the 45th President of the United States. It feels like about 20 years ago, but it was only in January. And then in March, I'm sure the 29th sticks in your mind as the day when the triggering of Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty and saw the beginning of Brexit talks all within this year. And we think of the year in which so many different things have happened. We think of ISIS being increasingly defeated in the Middle East. We think of terrorist outbreaks, we think of hurricanes, we think of so many things. We think of the retirement of Prince Philip, and we have to mention, because it's 2017, the engagement of Prince Harry to Meghan Markle. So a mixed year, all sorts of things have happened in the world stage, but also for us. And I'd just love us to spend a few moments thinking, as we come to worship God together, why do we want to say thank you to God as we look back on our 2017? What's happened over this past year for us? And you children, lots has happened for you, I know. Some have started at school, some have had very exciting things happen there in your home, and all of us have got things. We want to say thank you to God for being with us through this long year. So I'd love you to talk to a neighbor. Try and find somebody who looks friendly. There are quite a few. And speak to one or two other people. What are the things you want to say thank you to God for as you come to the end of 2017? Then we'll collect them together in a big prayer together. So just have a chat with somebody around you. What do you want to say thank you to God for at the end of this year? Right, well, thank you for talking about all sorts of things that have happened for you this year. I had a little chat. Okay, let's collect together some of those things, and Simon's going to be my runner and collect some of the things we want to record that have happened today. This year, I had a little chat with Karis, who's gone to a new school during the year and is learning to swim really well at the moment, which is brilliant. So that's good for 2017. Anybody else like to tell us? You can let in on what you were told by the other person, and you can deal with the implications later.
40 years of marriage.
Sorry, say it again.
40 years of marriage.
40 years of marriage.
Man, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Other things, don't be bashful. It wouldn't be like you. Lots of at the front, mainly children, but everybody's, this isn't just for children, this is for all of us. What were you going to say?
Having the best teacher in the world.
Thank you, that's
getting
wonderful.
Getting a gymnastics badge.
Fantastic. Gymnastic badge.
Getting this watch for Christmas.
Hey.
Get ready for Christmas.
Hey.
My brother and sister-in-law got married in 2017 and are giving birth to their first child.
How wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Joan let on that she went to a new place in Bournemouth for her holidays this year and really enjoyed it.
Brilliant. Thanks, Joan. That's special holidays, I know, would cover quite a lot of people.
Thankful God has provided for me through a difficult year in everything that's happened, and including my mum. So, yeah, thankful for that.
Thanks, Jackie. That's great. Lawrence behind, I'm afraid. As you turn this way, he put his hand up.
One would be afraid. Yes, well, we moved successfully.
Yeah.
A mile away. Thank you.
No, what a blessing that is. Wonderful.
Being a flower girl.
I've never been a flower girl. So. Oh, that you go.
Going on holiday.
Going on holiday. Oh, you had a very special holiday, didn't you? Where did you go to? Tell everybody, I know.
We went to Preston.
But you had a long time in Germany, didn't you?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't call that a holiday, but that was an amazing. How long were you in Germany? It was
3 months.
3 months in Germany. That was great. Where your mummy comes from. That's great.
I was talking to Patricia. She's so grateful for her lovely boss, Richard.
Patricia's lovely boss, Richard.
Oh. Yeah. Do you know, I heard ostrich. But anyway... I'll turn it up, don't worry. Wonderful. We all give thanks for Richard, and we have shared as a whole fellowship in the privilege of this last year of walking with Richard and Fiona, and that's been one of the amazing blessings to us and filled us with faith as we've walked with Richard. But great, he's an amazing boss as well.
Yeah. The community of our church here.
Thank you so much. Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you very... Oh,
one more.
Oh, yeah, sorry. A daughter.
Well, I mean, I started university and found friends in a church and all the rest of it, so...
Yeah, brilliant. Good-o. And thank... You know, I want to say thank you very much, Lee. Thank you for your support for me personally through this year. I am absolutely thrilled to be able to tell you that having walked with Caversham Baptist Church for the last nearly 4 years, we have called a new minister. So you'll know how exciting that is. And it's been a privilege to walk with them through a difficult time. But they've called a superb guy who's going to lead them, serve them well. But you've been faithful in supporting me and all of that, and I'm grateful. Well, lots of things to give thanks to God for, and I'm going to lead us now in prayer, trying to capture most of them. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you for families who are so special to us. Thank you for the gift of weddings that have happened this past year, the Joy and Carl's family of the wedding, and the gift of a new life. Thank you for marriage and for all those who can celebrate long marriages in which you have been so faithful. We thank you for the privilege of walking with Richard and Fiona through this past year. And we thank you, Lord, for the faith that we have seen in both Richard and Fiona. And we thank you that Fiona is now securely in your hands. Lord, we thank you for all the different experiences we've had in the year. Thank you for holidays, for the excitement of being able to go away and get away from it all. Thank you for the privilege of being able to share with our families in so many different ways. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of our homes and for those who've moved home. Thank you that you've been there providing for us and all that we've done. Thank you for our children. Thank you for all their successes this past year. Thank you for those who've learnt to swim and those who've been good at gymnastics and those who've gone to new schools and to university. Lord, you've been with us in all that we've done. Thank you that you've been with us as a church and you watched over and cared for us in all that we've done. We thank you for our leaders. We thank you that Richard has served us so well. And we thank you for all the team that he leads. We pray that you will bless them in all that they do. Father, we come to you gladly with all our thanks. But as we bring our thanks, Lord, we realize we have not lived perfectly for you. We've often let you down, and we want to be honest about this. We've let you down in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Not all the time, but some of the time. And Lord, we're embarrassed to reflect on how we've let you down. And so we ask that you would forgive us as we admit our failings before you. Would you set us free so that we can be the people you want us to be? Thank you that you are so ready to forgive us. Thank you that you are so ready to give us a clean start. We bring you our thanks and our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song that I think expresses who God is. God is a good God. God is a God who blesses us in all that we do. You need to know, as I preach, as I do most Sundays, very, very rarely am I ever involved in choosing songs. So you'll be interested to know that three out of the four songs I've chosen for this morning are not well known. They're well known to me. I think they're great. Anyway, we're going to sing together now. God is good. We sing and shout it. And we're going to sing it to you first, and Nikki's going to say something about how we're going to do that, and then we'll sing it together. Many of you will know it, but apparently not everyone. So we'll sing it first, you just listen, and then we'll sing it together. So, Nikki, do you want to...
Hopefully some of you know that, or that sounded vaguely familiar, or it sounds like it's easy to pick up. But we weren't content with just teaching a new song. We also would like you to try and do some actions as well. So you'll have picked up that we sing the phrase God is good quite a few times. So if you want to do some actions, so we've got God is good. Okay? So every time we say it, God is good. Okay? There's a few other words in there you might want to do some actions for. If you can think of an action as you're singing something, you can always do the action to go with the words as well. Now, something else we're going to do, so we're going to sing it through 2.5 times. And the last time that we sing, we know it's true. And we try and count to 6 afterwards, and then all together say, hey. Okay? This may or may not work, but we're going to give it a go and see how we get on. Okay? Have you got that? Excellent.
Okay. Who does know it? Just tell me. Yeah, it's going to be
brilliant.
Wonderful. Okay, let's stand together and sing.
Okay, here's your intro.
That was bad at all. Well done. Do sit down. Thank you very much. Lord, that's our conclusion to 2017. Through times of pain, through times of separation, through times of happiness and joy, through changes, some good, some not good, but through it all, we've learnt that you're a good God and you provided perfectly for our needs. And now, Lord, we say, would you please receive these, our gifts, that we place in your hands so that your church may grow, not just here in Newbury, but throughout the world. Amen. Thanks. So, times of change, and now we're starting to look forward. We've looked back, now we're looking forward, and somebody who is very particularly looking forward is Bethany, Bibi, and she's going to come and speak to me. Forgive me. Oh, yes, a light encourages me. You can have that as a small gift. So Bibi is just about to go off. In fact, this coming week, he's going to go off somewhere. So on Tuesday, Bibi's going off to... Tell us all about it.
I'm going off to Amsterdam on Tuesday with Youth Hostels Ministries. So they have two hostels in Amsterdam. I'll be at the Shelter Jordan, it's called. They have Shelter Jordan and Shelter City. And they're just a hostel for tourists, and they run on the basis of practicing Christian hospitality. So I'll be volunteering with them, and their sort of purpose is to show people what it's like to live as Christians, tell all the guests who may be Christians or may not be about what it is we believe in, and we live as a community. It's lots of international volunteers, and we do what they call a training program, where we learn about how to share our faith, discuss different topics, matters of faith, how we want to convey that to people, and how we want to reach out to Amsterdam as a city, looking at the needs of the city, what the tourists go for, and how we can show them what we think is how we want to live our lives.
Brilliant. So, are you in the centre of the city, or...?
So, there are two hostels that work together. One's Shelter City and Shelter Jordan. So, the Shelter Jordan, where I will be at, it's basically the city centre. They work together. They run hostel nights together where guests from the hostels can come together and just have a really good time together and just sort of know what it's like to live as Christians in the
Brilliant.
Community.
That sounds just... an amazing thing to do, doesn't it? How, Bibi, I mean, it's a whole adventure for you, isn't it? A whole new world. How would you like us to pray for you?
I suppose, for me personally, just being able to have the confidence to talk to people about what it is I believe. I think I don't know why, but as Christians, I think we find it hard to tell non-Christians what it is we believe, even though it's the core of our lives. So just being able to convey the message that I want to be able to, and just because it's new and it's different, and I don't think I've been away from home for more than a week before, so yeah, just living in a new community is a bit scary. So.
Yeah, but it's going to be wonderful, I'm absolutely sure, and thank you for sharing that, and we're delighted you're taking this step of faith, because that's what it is, isn't it? It's into a new world, but I'm sure it's going to be brilliant, and we would just love to pray for you, Bibi, and pray that it will be a great blessing, and I'd ask various people, please, if you'd like to, or particular friends of Bibi, or for whatever reason would like to come and pray with us now, please, others too, do come and let's pray for Bibi as you feel led, any of you, please.
Father, I thank you for this courageous woman of God. I thank you for the call upon her life to go to Amsterdam. Father, I pray in these last couple of days of preparations that you will be with her, Lord, that all the logistics side of things will go well. Lord, that you will be with her as she says goodbye to family and friends. And Father, as she steps onto that plane and goes onto this new adventure, would you be so real to her, Father? Would you really encourage her and strengthen her, give her all that she needs for her time in Amsterdam? Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for Bibi, and just thank you for what she's decided to do. And I really pray that everything she does there will really glorify you and help bring people to you. And I really pray you'd be guiding her every step. Just make her know that you're really close to her, yeah, and guide everything she does. Amen.
Yeah, Lord God, I thank you for the person that you've made Bibi to be and for the ways that we've been blessed to share in that. As a church community and as individuals and friends as well, Lord. And I just really devote this time that she's going to spend in Amsterdam to you. And we thank you that you have prepared the way ahead of her when she gets there. And we just pray that she'll feel that and feel your presence through that. We thank you that she's going to be a blessing to so many people when she gets there. We just ask that you will spur her on in these last few days.
Dear God, please be with Bibi. Takes the next step of her life, Lord. I know how scary it is. I know how scary it is going to a different part of the world, but Lord, just bless her. I thank you for this. I thank you for what she's decided to do, Lord.
Yes.
And I just pray, bless her.
Yes.
Be with her on that plane and be with her all the time she's in Amsterdam. And just talk to her. Right there by her side, Lord. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, we thank you for all that Bibi has done for us here at NBC. And as she takes those skills and experiences and her personality and her quiet way of getting on with people to Amsterdam, we just pray that you will bless her and be with her every step of the way. Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you that we can do extraordinary things as you give us extraordinary strength. And I just pray for Bibi, Lord. We have huge respect for Bibi. Thank you for all her many gifts and abilities. And we know that you're going to use her powerfully in Amsterdam. So bless her, we pray. Fill her with your Holy Spirit. And every step of the way, whether it goes well or whether it proves to be difficult, whatever happens, Lord, we just pray that you will solidly be there with her and for her every day. We bring our prayers in faith for our friend Bibi, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer as Claire leads us. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, today we look ahead into a new year. A time when we reflect on the past and consider what will come, what we will do, who we will be next year, how we will do things differently. We thank you that you will not change, whether it is the 31st of December or the 1st of January. Your promises and love for us remain steadfast. We pray for our world, which perplexes us. We hear so much more of the negative than the positive. We thank you that you give us prayer as a way of engaging where we cannot practically support. Help us to be global citizens, calling for those in need to be cared for, and for those doing wrong to be held to account. Help us to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank you that we can trust that you are in control, even where we cannot understand what is happening. We thank you for our church and our local community, for those next year who will continue to care for those who are on the margins, particularly our homeless and our elderly. We pray particularly for street pastors this evening. It will be a busy evening for them. We pray that many more in Newbury will encounter you through NBC in 2018. We thank you that you go before us in all we do. Help us to align ourselves with your vision and your will for us as a church. Thank you for your promise that if we do this, you will establish your plans. Finally, Lord, we lift ourselves before you. A new year is not an exciting prospect for all of us. Some of us want stability for our lives to stay the same. Some of us want things to change. We feel trapped by our present. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of this present. Your walk with us is not about tomorrow. Your purpose is to show us that you can walk with us through our life today. Encourage us, Lord, and make next year a year in which we all take one step closer to you. And finally, a blessing for all here today as we go into a new year. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks very much, Claire. We're now going to hear from the Bible, and Shirley is our reader.
The reading from God's Word is Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who is born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it arose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So they got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more."
Thank you so much for that remarkable reading. We're going to sing a song which I believe Philippa taught you a couple of weeks ago, a beautiful song of worship, "You're the Word of God the Father." Let's stand and sing it together. Sit down. Which proves, Philippa, you taught it well. That's great. Thank you very much. When I spoke in the carol service, I was pointing out the fact that there's always a difficulty when we come to Christmas because we know the story so well. All the details are exactly the same as last year when we celebrated Christmas. And in fact, it's always been the same throughout the whole of our lives. Therefore, it's difficult for us to imagine just how much of a surprise everything was on the first Christmas. So we've got Mary, who's totally astonished at what happens to her. We know what's going to happen next, but for her, she was astonished when she heard that she was going to have a baby. Joseph, her fiancé, was completely bamboozled to learn, as an upright man, that his fiancé, who he didn't know that well, was going to have a baby. And because he was a dignified person, he was determined to break off the engagement. He was totally shocked by all of it. The innkeeper in Bethlehem. Wow. If the innkeeper in Bethlehem had had any idea of what was happening, it would all have been very different. But he's totally surprised to learn that this young couple, the lady just about to give birth, is there wanting a room, and he has nothing to offer. And so it's round the back and a cattle's shed, or perhaps it could well have been in a cave, but it was where the cattle were kept that Jesus was placed when he was born. The shepherds were totally surprised. They were terrified. They'd never met anything as terrifying as the announcement from heaven, the angelic choir informing them of the birth of Jesus. Everything about the story is surprising. And today we come to another, almost bigger surprise. The group of people who came to see Jesus. Jesus is now clearly a toddler. We put all these stories together. It's not a Christmas story. It belongs probably to the time when Jesus was one and a half, two. We know that because of the what King Herod did in trying to make sure he got rid of the king of the Jews, killing all the baby boys under the age of two. So Jesus wasn't a baby at this stage, but it's fine that we put the stories together. And Jesus is visited by, of all people, magi, astrologers, magicians. These are not likely people. I mean, you'd have thought he might have recruited a few of the folk up the road in Jerusalem, educated people, people who knew the scriptures. They could have brought gifts, but no, it's people who are not Jews. They're Gentiles. They're from a land far away. They're foreigners, and they come to see Jesus. Now, just be careful with the story of the Magi, because through the years, quite understandably, we've put layers and layers of other things on top. It's what happens to a good story, always. For example, we tend to think that they were kings. They might have been kings, but there's no reference to that. We just need to be faithful to what the Bible says. The Bible says they're magi. We know they had three gifts, and we know there was more than one of them. So there could have been two, there could have been 22, there could have been 222, we don't know. It's just for convenience and for the Christmas cards and for nativity plays that it works well to have three kings, but it's not what the Bible says. We don't know their names either, which is terribly disappointing. They had to wait 500 years to get names. Melchior, Balthazar, and Gaspar were acquired in the 6th century in the Armenian infancy gospel. The Magi knew that they come to approximately the right area, but they go to the king, partly out of respect, but partly because they needed to tune in the information to exactly where Jesus was to be born. Where was the place where Jesus had been born? King Herod was not a nice piece of work. If there's anything in your mind which says that the Christmas story is a comfortable, easy story with everything flowing wonderfully well because it's the Son of God and so we'll make special preparations, you wouldn't have wanted to have King Herod as the king at the time. He was a desperately violent leader. He'd led the land for about 40 years, and towards the end of his life, he did go stark staring. Bonkers. He was paranoid. He felt everybody was out to get him. So the thought of a king, the king of the Jews being born, was just too much for him. So the Magi found their way to Bethlehem. They present their gifts, gold for a king, incense, as we know, for a priest, somebody who will form the link between God and mankind, and myrrh. Myrrh was used for burial. It was also used for celebrations. It was just a favored herb that was used for celebrations of different kinds. So I just want to draw two things out of this extraordinary story, this surprising story. The first is that the Magi brought the best to Jesus. These people from a distant land, a distant religion, they come to Jesus and they brought the best, just the best gift. For a moment, I'd like you to talk to those nice, friendly neighbors who you discovered earlier. Just think for a moment, what would you say has been the best gift or one of the best gifts that you've received in your life? Yeah, I'll let you go back. I'm not asking you to say the gift of your children because they happen to be sitting next to you or something, but a gift other than a person that's been given to you, and you want to say, that was a really thoughtful gift. That was a really appropriate gift. So tell me about something which you had to unwrap, a gift that you've given. Just reflect for a moment with those nice, friendly neighbors who you discovered earlier. For a moment. Okay. It's actually quite challenging, isn't it? I wasn't talking to myself, but I was talking to Peter, who wonderfully looks after all our what's on screen. So tell me anything, just because I'm nosy. Tell me what special gifts occurred to you. But children and adults, please, I need all of your help. Go on. Samuel.
My drumsticks.
Your drumsticks. Yeah. So the question is, do the rest of the family thank God for the drumsticks?
My camera.
Your camera. Brilliant.
All of my Christmas presents and birthday presents.
Hey, that's a very diplomatic answer, really.
My Christmasaurus book.
It's a storybook.
Christmasaurus book.
Oh, right. Wonderful.
Ben 10 watch.
Right. Fantastic. Lots of watches around.
My little nephew.
Right, yeah. Brilliant. Joy?
Behind me.
Oh, I see.
I've got the best thing. She said the gift of love.
Hey.
My blanket.
Anybody else? Okay, I mean, it is quite a difficult question, isn't it? And please, I hope no member of my family will be offended by me, and I've really appreciated all your presents, you know. did that cover it? This is a present which was given to me 11 years ago when we left Devon. And the family will know this has always been around me, which, as you can see, is a cross. And it's made out of driftwood. And a friend made it. And I just thought it was so wonderful because they were expressing it, you know, in one sense it cost nothing. But actually it was just so beautifully done and thoughtfully done. The sort of fragrance of the memory of receiving this. And it was just a wonderful gift. It was thoughtful. And like the gifts that were given to Jesus, it said something. It wasn't about the money. It was about the thoughtfulness and the kindness behind it. So go back to the Magi and the gifts that they brought. The significant thing about them was they brought the best. They brought the right things, the thoughtful things, but they brought the best. And as we go into 2017, I want to... 2018. You didn't pick me up on that. As we go into the new year, here's the challenge for all of us to bring to the Lord the best that we can do. So if we're worship leading, if we're preaching, if we're helping in the life of the church, if we're serving as church members, supporting what God is doing, we want to bring the best to God. In our schoolwork, in our college work, we're not just doing that for our teachers and our lecturers, we're doing it for God. God challenges us to bring him the best because he's worth the best in our paid employment, but in our leisure pursuits, in our family. The challenge is not just to get by, not just to do things, but to give the best. That's the first thing I want to say to you. And the second, more briefly, to point out from this story, the most surprising people come to Jesus. I mean, these Magi... It's probable that they actually were magicians. And we're thinking, oh, dear, you know, it's a bit dodgy. You know, what are dodgy people doing coming to Jesus? You know, we really would like to clean this story up a bit. Can we just have a little group of respectable people, people who know the Bible and people... But God actually tells us about dodgy people, people from the edge, people who are far away. They're not Jews or anything like that. They have another religion, but they came to Jesus. And what this says to me powerfully is that as we look at our town, as we look at the people around us, the Lord extends his love to everyone, everyone, everyone. And it's not for us to say, oh, well, we'd rather just people who are a bit like us to come to Jesus, people who are respectable. Look at the people who came in that first Christmas story. I love it so much. The shepherds came. I'm so grateful for that. Ritually unclean. They were probably petty criminals, just that shepherds had a reputation for being petty criminals. They were usually, almost certainly, smelly. They are the first to come to Jesus. What's the point of that being told to us? It's that everybody's welcome. And now these dodgy people from the east come, and they're welcome, and they come to Jesus. We must never say only a particular kind of person can come to Jesus. Everybody is welcome. One of the problems we have in our society these days is that so many people, trying to be terribly accommodating, say, well, you can believe what you like. You know, it's fine if you like to believe that, if you like to believe this, that's lovely. But Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said he was the only way to God. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said he was the true and living way. And I believe that's still the case. And when people come to me and they say, well, that's an interesting view, but I choose to believe this or I choose to believe that. And it sounds all sort of very generous, but I believe we need to be clear that Jesus is the way to God. He is the one who gives life. A little while ago, one of our folk in Caversham, the church where I've been helping out quite a bit these last few years, there was somebody's got a little restaurant in the middle of Caversham, really nice guy, and he was one of those people who said, you know, whatever way you come to God, that's great. You know, if you want to come through ley lines, it's fine. If you want this religion, that religion, it's fine. Whatever turns it on for you, just great. And I'm so thrilled at this, just over a year ago, God spoke to that man, and he spoke to him in Bugs Bottom, which is in Caversham. I don't know if God has spoken to many people in Bugs Bottom, but it's a delightful little open, grassy area. And it was there that he met with Jesus. He would say now, he'd love to stand here and say, he met Jesus and discovered that Jesus was the way to God. And his life has been transformed by it. Hear this. All sorts of people come to Jesus. Surprising people, like magi, dodgy people. People you wouldn't expect to be there. And as we go into 2018, we think of BB going to Amsterdam, meeting all kinds of different people. As we go about our daily work, as we live in the community, just remember this, Jesus welcomes all kinds of people to himself. So, 2018, two things, big things to take into the new year. One, let's only ever bring God the best. And let's always know that God's love extends to everyone and not just people like us. Thanks be to God that his word is still alive and speaks to us. Amen. We're going to sing a final song, and again, I was confident everybody would know this, but apparently not everybody does, so that's fine. We'll teach it to you. It's a beautiful song, and it speaks of the way in which Emmanuel, God with us, the God who was there in the Christmas story, will be with us through our lives. We sing together from the squalor of a borrowed stable. What we're going to do is we're going to sing the first verse to you, and then please, if you know it, restrain yourselves. We'll sing it to the first verse, and then I'll invite you all to stand, and we'll sing that first verse again. So let's sing this together. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that we have met afresh with Jesus, Emmanuel. And we thank you that as we look forward to 2018, we know that you, Emmanuel, God with us, will be with us every step of the way. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each one of us this day and always. Amen.